on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
I had no particular plan. I just wanted to express, and I just needed to get this out there. And when they asked for the book, I pivoted to where I was a blogger to now became an author.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers. No more barriers. No one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Yes, hello. It is The Self-Publishing Show with James Blatch.
And Mark Dawson.
And here's still in the still lockdown UK. And you've been out and about, though, flexing the new slightly looser rules with your new electric bike. Tell us how that's going. You got a bit of traffic, a bit of a notice about that last time you mentioned in the podcast, but you've actually taken delivery of it now and been out.
I've been out twice, Saturday and Sunday, and it's amazing. I went out Saturday, I think I did about 25 kilometers, something like that, and then yesterday I did about 45, and it's fantastic. You should definitely get one.
I'm quite excited about it. They're, of course, within my little cycling group, they are frowned upon.
It's quite funny that I was cycling down. I went into the New Forest, which is a really lovely part of the world, not too far from where I live. And there was a very long stretch of fairly flat road, and I saw, a club cyclist ahead of me. So I thought I'd have a bit of a laugh, and I turned the bike on and just destroyed him. It was hilarious. I whizzed past him. And then coming back again, there's some really steep hills, and it was amazing because, you've done 40, 45 kilometers. Your legs were going a little bit, or mine certainly were. So I had half the battery left, so I just put it onto full boost, and it just basically helped me get home. It was really fantastic.
That's what you wanted it for, wasn't it, for that? And it does sound really cool. Are you uploading these to Strava? Can people follow you on Strava?
I am on Strava now, yes, I am. So
so you can have 30,000 self-publishing show listeners following you.
Yeah, it's really good fun. So I thoroughly enjoyed myself. There were a few moments, because it's lovely weather here at the moment. There's a few moments yesterday where I was whizzing through the New Forest or going up hills and things, or even I found some lovely kind of bridle ways through, the middle of the countryside. No one anywhere that I could see, as far as I could see. And it was lovely. And there may have been a few kind of whoops of enjoyment as I was
a few whoops, whizzing. Dawson whoops. Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, to try and circle it back a little bit to the core topic that we're here to talk about, I think looking after your mental health is important. There's lots of stuff going around at the moment about, particularly during lockdown, and sounds to me like a pretty good way of trying to give yourself some breathing space and thinking time. I think you and I both enjoy exercise for that reason, actually, because it gives us some thinking time away from this.
Walking is good for thinking time, but on the bike yesterday, I didn't think of anything. It was just.
That's also good.
Just nice, just not to think about anything, and it was. And I don't normally get that kind of opportunity. So that was really nice. I said that to Lucy as I came home, and she was like, she gets that when she goes horse riding. Mm. You can't really think about other stuff because you've got to concentrate on not falling off your horse or not falling off your bike. And so it was. It is just an opportunity to be somewhere completely different. So I strongly recommend it. Exercise is good.
Yeah, very good. Actually reminds me of learning to fly, which I did in my 30s. Because again, the same thing, once you're in that environment for a couple of hours of prep and flying and debrief, you can't think about anything else. And it's quite a refreshing holiday from your mental life when you have to absorb yourself. I would like to get my flying license back. Saw that tweet this week about a fast jet experience in Florida. One of our listeners sent it. Her father is the instructor pilot, I think, on the L39 Albatross out of Fort Lauderdale, and I'm all up for that. Definitely.
You are.
That's $3,000 well spent.
Is that how much it costs?
I think so, yeah. But I want to get my flying license back so that I can make the most of it. Get some instruction up there rather than just have a joyride. Yes, I could see you were the colour draining from your face at the prospect.
That's never happening. No. Well, I wouldn't even go with Nathan Van Koops.
No. Well, you should do. It's fun. It's beautiful.
I know I should. No, I probably would do that.
You would enjoy that. I'll fly you. Nathan will...
No, that's not happening either. One thing we should... I don't know if you saw it last week. We had a lovely email from someone. I think I intercepted it and I was quite rude in response, saying it was 7 minutes before we had anything that was relevant for writers, and who had time to listen to that nonsense? You may not have seen that, but that came in. I think I picked that off the queue before anyone else got to it, because I don't know, people sometimes.
A lot of people who listen,
people just rude.
I consider everyone who listens as friends, and we are catching up with each other and with our friends who listen to this and
exactly.
Like to know what's been going on this week. And it's our own little community. This is part and parcel of it for me. We're not a boring, here's the next bit of learning, here's the next bit of learning, end of learning. Did you? I don't know if you watched The Good Place?
No.
Yes, the neutral Janet of people who've watched The Good Place, neutral Janet. End of conversation. She says everything completely neutrally. beginning of conversation, goodbye, end of conversation. So that's not what this podcast is, what this show is. Okay, look, we've got a couple of things to mention. We do have a webinar where there is going to be intensive learning going on June the 9th, though, just a few days' time. And you can sign up for that if you go to selfpublishingformula.com/6secrets. Six secrets, SIXSECRETS. And that is going to be with Janet Margo, fresh from the Amazon advertising operation in Seattle. And she is going to be really from the horse's mouth stuff about under the bonnet in Amazon advertising. So going to be a very useful session. It is going to be, I tell you now, we both know this market is going to be oversubscribed on the night. So you want to register and you want to get there early. We will have something, we have a plan in place if you don't get on in the evening. But you probably will want to be there live if you can. So you can put your questions directly to Janet. So if you go to selfpublishingformula.com/6secrets and sign up for that webinar. We should also say that our Advertising for Authors course is going to be open, possibly for the only time this year. Sort of roughly the plan at the moment is it'll open again in January 21. I think we may bring that forward, but I can't guarantee it. So it might be the only time this year, depending on what else we're doing and what place the course is in. The big addition is Janet Margo's new Amazon advertising course, which we are heads down at the moment in bringing to fruition. It's going to be a complete revamp of the existing Amazon ads course. The existing Amazon ads course was the smaller sibling of the Facebook ads course within Ads for Authors. These are going to be alongside each other now. In fact, if anything, I think this course is going to be more comprehensive, maybe even than the Facebook ads course. It's going to be very modular, very easy to dip in and out of, very easy to set up those campaigns, listening to an expert on the subject. So that's being added this time. Ads for Authors also includes Facebook Ad for Authors and a plethora of other courses. That's going to be open on Wednesday the 3rd. There you go. Wednesday the 3rd, 10 p.m. UK is the traditional time we open that course. And if you go to selfpublishingformula.com/ads for authors, you will be able to read all about it, find out exactly what's in the course and whether it's going to be good for you. And as always with our courses, we understand they're an investment. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you get full access to everything in the course for 30 days. And you can ask for your money back if you don't think it's for you, if you don't want to continue. And also, just because of where we are at the moment, and we understand that for some people money is tight, we are going to do a 2-year payment plan on the course this time. So you'll be able to spread that payment over 24 installments. Okay, we have an unusual interview today. Really unusual, really interesting and unusual guy. But we often get, occasionally we get an email, don't we, Mark, from someone who says, I'm a poet and how can you advise me to make money? What's your standard response if someone says, I'm a big poet, I want to make money from my poetry?
Sorry about that, can't help you, move on.
It is tempting to say that because there aren't a lot of examples of people making poetry as a commercial success. It's just one of those areas that doesn't have people, you don't often see people perhaps sitting on the tube reading poetry in the way that you would a genre novel. However, that doesn't mean you can't make money from poetry, and our guest today has done exactly that. His name is Pierre Gentil. It's an excellent name, which I couldn't help saying quite a lot. We're going to hear all about it. The quality wasn't absolutely fantastic, I have to say, on his broadband connection, but it's a really interesting way he's gone about this. He has Yeah, he's done very well indeed selling his poetry, which is up there on Amazon, doing very well in the rankings as well, which is, as I say, an exception and something for us to learn about. So even if you're not into poetry, I think some of the way he's used social media, he uses platform to market, and his collaboration are all things that we can learn from. So let's hear from Pierre.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Okay, so we are delighted to say bienvenue to Pierre Gentil, which is the most French name I think we've ever had on the podcast. we even have French people on who don't have a French name like Pierre Gentil. I love it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were just saying off air that it's a Haitian name originally. Of course, they speak French in Haitian, in Haitian land, in Haiti. Yeah. I'll be able to speak. So, yeah, look, Pierre. Very warm welcome to the Self-Publishing Show. We're delighted to have you on here. I'm slightly nervous as a reserved Englishman who never talks about his feelings to have you here, because you are the guy who's going to unlock the secret of the man and the woman, as it turns out. But we're going to talk a bit about that as we go on. We're here to learn from you big nonfiction success stories about the various channels you've used to get to where you are. And I think that there'll be some learning in there for all of us, not just nonfiction people. That'd be great for them, but also fiction authors as well, about using social media channels and so on. So why don't you give us a little background of who you are now and how you got here?
In terms of my background, I guess I could get started into the whole, my entire writing journey. So as I mentioned, I'm Haitian. I entered the state in February 2000, and I had a journey of learning English and learning how to communicate. And when it was time for me to graduate from high school and go to college, one of the things I focused on is learning more about the language. And somehow, also poetry was in the mix. It was a lot of, okay, how can I learn, you know, how to write poems? How can I learn more about the language? It was quite complicated. And there's a background to this, why I'm mentioning it. But it led to me going out to college and wanting to be a physical therapy, which did not work out. But I've had the background of constantly taking, you know, writing courses, English courses, and also poetry, a lot of poetry classes. So after I actually did not complete college, and I came back home and started working to where I found a love to, the entire nonfiction world, because I started off Twitter, where I would share a lot of my thoughts with people. I would share whether, you know, things to keep them, you know, in a positive state of mind, things, you know, expressing before I was expressing a lot of my religious views. It grew to where we started getting a lot of attention. My Twitter account, this is the early days in Twitter where they did not even have a retweet button.
Right.
And yeah. it was, we would make a trend to the top pages. And it started where it birthed in me this idea of how can I communicate to people and be more on a positive note? And how could I put poetry into the mix? I had a hard time with that because poetry itself was hard for me to understand. But I ended up, I didn't say I created a new niche, but during that time, there was, when I released my first poetry book, there's this entire, I wouldn't say revolution, it's just a new angle where the modern poets, I would say a lot of people were expressing themselves more in a, you know, a simplified format where it's just some type of motivation and so forth. So that led to me coming with the idea of why don't I mix the self-help with the poetry. I try to say mainly it's quotes, but, you know, I do have a lot of poets who get offended by us modern poets, because they're like, you've simplified this art form. And to me, it's always, as long as we express the, you know, there are times I do write things that people need to decide on a way to motivate people. So that gave the birth to my most popular book, which is Her. But before that, my whole idea of writing, you know, being inspirational was my first book, Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman. The focus of that was to express how men, we are emotional communicated enough, especially in relationships, because a lot of us don't know how to, and we haven't been taught that. And I noticed that, you know, after many failed relationships, how that was a big issue in my life, to where I decided to write about it. Because initially when I quit my job, which I skipped over, initially when I quit my job, I quit to be a blogger, because again, it was all about whether we were inspired or writing on the relationship topic. And that went extremely well, to the point a lot of people started asking me for a book. And when I launched Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman, which was in December 2014, that led to, you know, it was the beginning of everything.
So was that the name of the blog as well, or was that the book that resulted in the blog, The Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman?
It was related to the blog. The title, the blog, the name of the blog was Gentlemanhood. Because the whole idea was, okay, how can we talk about men? How can we get them to be more vocal? How can we get them to be more loving? And, you know, that's where the name of the book is, Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman.
Well, let me just pause there and talk a little bit about that, and where, you know, as a nonfiction area, mm-hmm, how you approach that and stuff. Was that simply you? I mean, it's a good subject, obviously. Men, mm-hmm, generally aren't very good. And I don't know how universal this is. I mean, you said you're Haitian, you live in the States now, I'm in the UK. I think it's the same in all those three countries from my personal experience. Is it like a global thing? Is there any culture somewhere where the men are much better at speaking about their emotions? Otherwise, this is a perfect universal theme to dwell on.
It seems like it's a universal thing. I know culturally for me in the Haitian culture, that is a big issue. But living, moving into the States, having lived there for more than half of my life, I've noticed that something also in here. And the more I started speaking about it, I started to see it's more of a global thing. Yeah. Because we're talking about, I started grabbing, you know, gathering support from people from all different, you know, countries, Nigeria, different places in Europe, and they all would voice that, okay, this is important. We need to. Now, I wouldn't say I have too many Frenchmen approach me on this. Maybe they're more. I've never had anyone from France.
Maybe that's the one country that's got it right. Okay, so you have this this area which is, it does resonate, I think, for lots of us men, and a lot of women probably listen to this as well, think, yep, that's that pretty much is the case. And then did you just simply start expressing your views on this, giving, mm-hmm, hints and tips and stuff, with no particular plan as to where this would go commercially?
Yeah, I had no particular plan. The idea was, I just want to express, and I just needed to get this out there. And when they asked for the book, I pivoted to where I was a blogger to now became an author. And from there on, I continued just really pushing my books. And the great thing about it for me was, years prior, I had experience with just building on social media. I mentioned that I was on Twitter when Twitter was first came out. I got on Instagram when Instagram only allowed iPhone users to be on there. So it was fairly new. Everything was fairly new. So I, you know, with me also having experience marketing with on Twitter, that launched where I implemented this different strategies to get that book out there. So when I became an author, it was, okay, I'm going to express, but I'm going to make sure this is getting to the people who would appreciate it. And interestingly enough, more women were gravitating to the content. I've had men really appreciate it and feel like it's needed. But that's why also you notice I went to mostly writing for women, because a lot of women felt like, okay, men do need to hear this. So I have a lot of wives buying it for their husband, a lot of girlfriends buying it for their boyfriends, or buying it for, you know, their brothers and sisters. And it even grabbed a lot of attention in the prison system.
Okay.
Where a lot of those men who have more time to reflect, more time to understand, I mean, you know, go through the, you know, think back, and they've gravitated to the book of saying, okay, this is needed. Thank you for voicing this. But I had none. In the beginning, the book itself wasn't planned. Me becoming an author wasn't planned, but everything else, I planned around it in terms of the exposure and the changes, the business model, and so forth.
Okay. I don't know how I'd feel about being presented it as a gift from my other half. It's a bit of a barbed gift, isn't it? You get that. Right? Anyway, I'm sure it works.
It sparked some interesting conversations.
Yeah, I bet.
It was, wow.
It's like buying your wife a sort of self-help book. I mean, I wouldn't dare. Anyway, okay, so you wrote the book, and I guess you repurposed quite a lot of your blog writing and maybe wrapped it a bit and produced it in a more narrative form. And then, how was that process?
Actually, I did not. I literally transitioned from being a blogger to just an author. The only thing I changed on the blog was we simply just added a shop to it. I kept blogging about the same thing, and sometimes it's somewhat relevant to each other. But initially, I just gravitated to where I never blog. You know, even now, I haven't blogged on that particular site for the last probably 2-3 years.
Okay.
I think the idea was blogging also was becoming like a, it's not like an old form of content marketing, but it's more of social media was here. Instagram was getting popular. It was a lot easier to share and then just send people to a direct page to purchase. So I didn't put my focus much on the content, where the book became the new focus for me.
Okay, so you had a bit of a platform when you wrote the book. How many sort of,
oh, yeah.
How big was your tribe? Did you have an email list at that stage, or was it simply followers on the social media platforms?
It was many followers, because as I mentioned, I was there on Twitter early ages. When I created Gentlemanhood on Twitter, I grew it to having 500,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
So then when I made Twitter started going on the decline, and I made the change to going to Instagram, where before I was on Instagram for personal use, but I created Gentlemanhood on Instagram, because main reasons that I transitioned even to Instagram was there's the whole plagiarism factor, because, you know, as someone who writes quotes and express certain things about men, one thing I would find was I was very familiar with the popular quote pages a while back. That was the popular thing. And they would just take my writing and keep sharing it, and it would go viral. And I had an issue with that. So I quickly transitioned to Instagram with the idea, everything I write, I can actually add my name to it. So it became where I spent most of my time, to where we grew the audience significantly. It was, I think when I wrote the book, I had about 30,000 followers on Instagram. So it became easier to do anything. I did not have an email list, because during that time, when I transitioned to social media, I had this idea that email is outdated. People wanted everything direct. Although, thinking back, my first 100 books came, my first 100 purchases came directly to my site from an email I sent out on the launch day. But somehow I still thought it was outdated. It wasn't until 2 years ago, mainly last year, that I went back to emails. But it was mainly my social media follower.
And how did you market and sell the book?
I started obviously using my followers constantly. I mean, sharing excerpts, just talking about the book, and also curating different content that was around the book. So when I'm talking about men, talking about our viewpoints of relationships, relationship. And, you know, at the bottom of every caption, there was, hey, my book is available here. Grab it through the link in the bio. The other technique that helped me a lot was during that time where getting a lot of celebrities' attention. I had people who were a lot of people from the entertainment business. I had athletes. They were following me. And I came with this mindset, this idea of how about we message celebrities, you know, to see what, you know, if we offer them a free book, would they take up the offer? And believe it or not, it worked. I started messaging the ones that were following me and also the ones that weren't following me to the point where a good amount of them received this book for free. And they ended up, you know, posting about it, showing their favorite excerpt. I had some posting them reading it, to where that started to grab a lot of the attention, getting the book a lot of it attention.
So you've got to tell us who some of these celebrities were.
Actually just messaging them. That's how, when I message them, surprisingly, his being around the internet for a while, and again, having some marketing background, was whenever you approach them differently, it's like when you say something that's out of the ordinary, they will open a DM. So it would be, you know, it would be something, one of the angles that I took with my poetry book was that, are you a friend of modern poetry? No one in the time in the DM is asking that, because usually if you're a female model, you have a lot of guys giving you compliments or, you know, asking you for random things. Or you're a celebrity, they're asking for just picture or, hey, can you help me with this? My thing, I always approach everyone with the idea, I would like to give you something, nothing in return. But if you do like it, I would appreciate it if you tell someone. And I never asked them to share it or do any of that. So it became to where celebrities like, you know, there was a popular show named 106 in Park, Roxy Diaz. There's a popular group with Beyonce, and they had a song, I'm a Survivor. So Michelle Williams, just different people. The list started adding on to, we just would love to see who's an influencer or, you know, obviously a celebrity. And I would, I had an assistant during that time, a virtual assistant, and that's what we would do. And we just send out the message, make sure it's different. Once they respond, we quickly get their information. We protect their information, but we get the book over to them.
In terms of the platform, Pierre, was it you were using Amazon or other platforms to sell the book or selling it direct?
Then I transitioned to Facebook marketing. And that's why late 2015, after my book tour, I had a book tour for The Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman. And funny thing, a lot of people who attended were couples. Believe it or not, you know, when you talk about wives and husbands, yeah. I've had couples there. And it was, you know, I had to tread lightly because I'm like, I don't want any argument. I transitioned to Facebook because during that time, you know, they were mentioning how Facebook is really useful. So I got into Facebook marketing late 2015, and we started just using the excerpt, a popular excerpt that one of the celebrities posted, and it was doing well. It was speaking to the woman, saying how it's not your responsibility to change a man and try to keep him within a relationship. It, you know, even though the book was for men, it's also telling them, you know, men, we must be accountable, especially if we're in a relationship. We should be making the changes necessary. It's not the woman's job to do it for us, or it's not a burden that the woman should take upon themselves. So we use that excerpt and we boosted posts. We boosted posts during that time. It was effective. With that, we launched them straight to Amazon. And from there, you know, that was one of the ways. So between, you know, within the last 4 years, we just played with different things where Twitter marketing, Pinterest marketing, Facebook and Instagram. But those were the main platforms.
And was it selling as an ebook or as a print version?
It was print. Believe it or not, that's another thing where I am getting late into, which is selling ebooks. I always had it as an ebook format because it was a thing to do, but I never pushed anyone to an ebook. So I started selling on my own website. So all I knew was physical copies. So when we pushed people to Amazon, the book was climbing up the ranking to just simply just us selling the physical copies. Rarely, I don't think we even sold much ebook version of that book.
Okay. But you were making money.
Yeah. Too much of it.
Too much.
Yeah, I'm saying that's too much.
I mean, it was going well. But the mechanics of this, did you do the print run? Because this was before, I guess it was the CreateSpace days. Was this print on demand or you did print on demand? Okay.
Yeah. First, the first thing I did when I launched on my own site, I found a local printer, which was in Miami, and they printed the book. They gave me all the information. That back then, I didn't know anything about formatting or anything around the book world, to where their graphic designer and that team helped me understand a lot of this, where they formatted everything for me to put on Amazon. So from there, CreateSpace did all the work. And then we transitioned to Ingram, but that's later on in my career. Okay. When Her is introduced.
Okay.
But yes.
So you did The Unspoken Thoughts of Gentlemen. Sorry, tell me again the title. I should remember it.
Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman.
Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman. There you go. And this, off the back of the platform you'd built just organically and because you were enthusiastic about the subject and ended well. And then you decided to write a follow-up book.
Yes.
Which was him?
No. So after Unspoken Feelings... No, Her was the first one that I wrote. So I was thinking back. I have so many books I was thinking back. So I wrote Unspoken Feelings of a Gentleman. Then I went to Unspoken Feelings of To the Women I Once Loved, was my first poetry book. Because after Torn, what I realized was that a lot of women, and when I mentioned that women were bringing their partners, a lot of them asked, well, now that you have something for men, we do enjoy it and we do get to get some insight about, you know, how our partners feel. Why don't you have anything for us? So that led to me right into The Women I Once Loved, which is a poetry book, more about, you know, the things that I've learned from women and the things that men do learn from women and women, although we voice it or not. And, from there, you know, it's then it's Unspoken Feelings Sue, and then Her, which is what I built everything else on top of, which is, the quote prose, poetry book.
And did you, when you were putting these together, I mean, the poetry is quite different from a self-help book about relationships.
Yes, and that's why I said we kind of, when I say we, there's a group of modern poets, what they call Insta poets. I don't know, I can't speak for them, but for me, it was merging the two, because it was me giving advice, but in a, you know, in a poetic way that I feel like it can be received, and ideally, when I wrote this, it was for the younger audience, because I've had a lot of them, you know, young males reading my books, and obviously in high school, you know, and early in, you know, college. So from there on, I felt like, okay, maybe I should help the girls and, you know, growing into young women, I should help them. So we mix the two. Well, we still speak to you, but it's somewhat poetic.
It's a bit of a holy grail making money from poetry. We do get we get emails from people saying I write romantic poetry in the style of a 19th century man. How can I make money from this? And we often say, get a job at Woolworths or the local branch or something, and then do that in the evening. It's very difficult, hand on heart, to say to someone, yes, you've made a good commercial choice there. It's something you do for love and your heart. But here you are, bucking that trend, which is really interesting.
Yes. I always say, man, it's a blessing. But a lot of it, I think, I can't say we, because when I say we, just to explain, there's a young lady named by Rupi Kaur. She's very popular. She wrote Milk and Honey, and she's a New York Times bestseller. Between her and there's an author named R.M. Drake and Ari Sin and myself, We're pretty much at the front end of this, because when you look at the poetry section, you'll see our face on Amazon or even in a bookshelf, you know, at Barnes & Noble, just different store. We found a way to connect with the younger audience, where we thought it was a younger audience only, in a poetic way. And that led to so many people appreciating it, because I now have... you know, people who are between the ages of 45 to 60 purchasing the book, and I can't even understand it. But what we did was we found a way to connect with the audience while also using poetry. You know, when we talk about relationship, which is a topic that a lot of people gravitate to, and then we add the poetic side of it, it ended up being just a perfect mix. And it's been quite a journey, because even, you know, with Ingram Spark, when I joined on board with them, and even when I got into Barnes & Noble, the poetry section was big. And now I walk to my local Barnes & Noble because again, I've gotten a lot of books. Since I've released Her has been in the top 5,000 on Amazon since it's been released, and now it's probably currently today it's like number 300 or something like that, and that's because I'm doing a lot of direct marketing now. I sell mainly through my warehouse, but since we released it, it's been there, and I've seen the poetry section in the bookstores go from this to this. A lot more authors or just different people started considering the genre, especially now. I'm not saying we made it more respected, but more people are willing to do it because they said there's a possibility to build a career on this. And I've been able to build a career, not only that, a publishing company, and it's just the possibilities there.
Do you think you would have been commercially successful with poetry without the audience you'd built as a platform?
I don't think so. There's no way. Because a lot of my platform and everything we've built is really gravitated everyone to it. Before, I don't think I had any way of even finding out if there was a need for readers reading this type of content, because we thought poetry as hard to decipher, it's like days you understand, and it could be just different different topics, never from the relationship perspective as much, and it's just I don't think it would be possible. It would have been possible.
But are you finding new readers now? I mean, are you advertising your poetry books?
Yes, I have. I'm wearing the books at the shirts at Facebook Advertiser. Well, the last 3 years, I focused a lot on becoming a marketer. Besides, I had the knowledge in terms of how to market, how to build strategies, like how we get in front of celebrities, we use hashtags, obviously to sell and things of that nature. As things change, I've been changing more. So now we slowly, although my old brand has like 290,000 followers, and for the brand I created for the poetry book, it has 690,000 followers on Instagram and like 1.5 million on Facebook. We've shied away from using we just haven't prioritized using the platform. We've prioritized using social media advertisement as like the backbone, as the main thing that drives the business. Because what I realized as an influencer in that space, eventually things, you cannot get consistent sales because the algorithms keep changing. Which is an issue a lot of people are having. And for between 2017 and 2018, there was a huge wave of poets who were just, okay, there's possibilities here, let's write these books. And they were getting traffic through Instagram. But what happened when Instagram and Facebook made their changes, it just all fell flat on my face, to where I made a big change. Direct when it comes to Facebook. When I had a book tour for him, my him book, who came out in September of 2019, I believe. And we could not get any traction at all. Although I have, you know, over a million followers on Facebook, over 500,000 followers on Instagram, people would not see the post because the algorithm pick and choose what it shows. So that's where I was like, okay, first we have the prioritized email list because a lot of authors were using it. I have authors friends which I market for, which were having tremendous success by just sending out email blasts. And then we started pivoting to where, okay, we were using the same advertisement, boosting posts and getting people to, during this time, her just got into Target. I made a deal with Target. Target picked up her too, and him, which was newly published.
Wow. How did you get into Target?
So, okay, again, we'll get to the marketing after, but
okay.
I think this is important. It's something I really wanted to discuss because we started selling we're using Boost Posts, using Facebook marketing still. We started selling so many books. I started working around just different marketing angles where, one, we will go and take pictures of the book in the store and tell people they can grab it into stores like Barnes & Noble. And that drove a lot of traffic to where they were not carrying it in the store. So where, hey, maybe we should start having this book because so many people are asking about it. So when I joined, Ingram Spark, and right away I got a sales rep to where we started doing extremely well. But finally, we got into Barnes and Noble, and the book was just being. They would put it on the end cap and do all the marketing opportunities they offered. They were just coming for me for free because we were just pushing people to the stores. Well, that led to many more stores getting it to where Target came to Ingram Spark, although it's not a distributor, that came knocking and said, hey, we need this book. And I got the email and I was like, who could it be? Because they didn't tell me. And it was Target. They wanted 5,000 copies of her book. And it was like, wow, I'm not in a position to do this now because we're talking about we're getting paid every 30 days and now we had a print run of 5,000. Well, they increased it then later to 10,000.
Wow.
And we're like, okay. But fortunately, I worked out something with Ingram Spark where we're able to get the deal out, do the print run, the initial print run, and it being 20,000 books. Where they picked up her and her too. Then later, as I'm finishing the tour for him, they're like, hey, this is a perfect package. Let's make it work to where the book. But also, the main reason too is again, it's sales. I've been always worth on marketing. Facebook has been at the backbone of this entire business. So whenever it got into Target, we made sure we push people to that store.
I just want to ask about the Target. We should say, actually, for UK and other listeners, Target, if you don't know, is a big supermarket chain in America. They tend to be very big stores. I guess they did drive a hard bargain. I mean, people talk about some of the supermarket sales of books only generating pennies for authors. Were you able to make money from this deal?
I was able to. I think once what I learned from the experience is whenever you get into large supermarkets or large resellers, you have the focus has to be volume because once you're given at least 55% off the retail price, then you have printing costs, then you have returns. There's so much to it where it was not a hard lesson, but it was different because we're talking about I came from Create Space of making at least $4 a book to where now I have to make like $1 on the book while they're making more. But when I focus more on volume, because the main thing that came to mind when this opportunity presented itself is just the ideal shirt buyer. Because I try to study my buyer's behaviors and so forth. a lot of women just go to Target, my wife being one of them. She just go to Target and find random stuff to buy. She spent a lot of money there. So I would walk in the store and look at the ideal person. They just browse for stuff to buy. And I said, it would be worth it. By the time we got in there, between me driving traffic and just people discovering the book, they love the cover and so forth, it actually became the number one selling poetry book there, even beating out all the major publishers, and that's where I was able to see a profit. But it is something that I think authors, any author who take, whoever get this opportunity, they should, apply a lot of wisdom, because you have this look at the long-term goal, because although it could be a great opportunity, but on the back end, I ended up to where they ordered 3 set of books. They returned 21,000 books.
Wow.
In total, they started with I think they ordered about 60,000 books. So I was fortunate enough to sell 40,000 books to them. But when it came time to the contract to end, they just say, oh, here's your book. And which is now founded, it's built out an entire new business for me, because once they returned those books, I had to do something with them. But to stay on the topic of Target new retailers for authors, you have to try to negotiate that, do not try to do anything that you can't afford to do, because a lot of the time it could come on the back end where it hurts you financially, because no one expects returns, but they happen. And even being as successful it was in the store, I could not believe they still returned that many books.
Yeah. So you've got a pile of books somewhere, which I think you said you're direct selling now.
Yes. So after Target returned those 21,000 books, I had to figure out something. I couldn't keep driving people to Amazon because of the fact that, again, I have books in storage, so there's something to do. Fortunately, Ingram, I'm very close to the team in there. I'm one of the top sellers, so, we get to communicate a lot. So Ingram said, okay, we have a warehouse, because they were the middlemen between that whole deal. So they have a warehouse, and we'll hold the book until you figure out what's going to happen. So, I have a staff working, because I also have a publishing company where we actually do take the authors. There are poets, and we sell the book. So, I'm like, look, I have to figure out something. So we didn't have the space here. This is a building here, the publishing office. So I said, let me try selling it myself. I started selling on WooCommerce on my own site. We got a small storage unit. In America, we have the storage unit. You pay a certain amount per month, and you have it, obviously, AC control. So I put the books there, and my focus was, well, let's try to sell that direct. Well, then I could make most of the profit and pay back everything and how to do it. It started going. My site wasn't the best. It started going. Then I went into selling my ebooks, because that's when I'm like, the importance of ebooks, emails. Like, now that everything blew up my face, I was like, okay, I need to figure things out. So I started selling my ebooks. I created new ebooks, started selling them direct, to where we needed a better system to deliver the ebook. I was using SamCard. So then I switched over to Shopify, and I had a few people tell me more about Shopify. And I decided, well, let me test out the books on there. And it was the best thing I've discovered for a while, because I knew about Shopify before, but never used it. I just hated the idea of selling through it. But we built a shop on Shopify. Pierre Genty switched all my traffic to there. And then I got, when I mentioned earlier, I was talking about getting deeper into Facebook. I focus on being like a Facebook expert, per se, to where I've had the experience since 2015, but now focus on how you could sell direct with what other retailers are using to sell. So we started driving enough traffic and running ads specifically for sales. So we're selling, we're doing from 500 to 700 orders a day.
Wow.
And Facebook is, on the back end of Facebook, which we run conversion ads where I actually do find the buyers. We do a lot of upsell, just different things to make sure we get the most out of our platform. But since then, you know, I've had, I think I posted in 20K to 50K books not too long ago. We've done over $1 million gross. But it's the last 8 months has been life-changing because me putting a focus on having more control has been the best thing after everything blew up in my face, in better words.
And how do you, last question on the sort of physical side, how do you do the fulfillment?
So everything started in this building here. I would buy shelves, have shelves here, and I had my niece and existing people who are employees that were here already. We had them, we would buy envelopes, this website called uline.com, and the envelopes come even out 10 cents. And in terms of books, I had no problem. I had 21,000 of them. So we would get some books to us from the storage. We came here and we would fulfill, just put them, print labels, because they're already prayed for. Shopify allowed you to print the labels and we'd buy adhesive labels. So soon we print it, we just put it on the envelope and, you know, tape up the envelope, we'd take it to the post office. And from there, the building, you know, we started in a different room, then we moved to this room, whatever, shelves all around here. It looks completely different, but shelves all around here to where we pre-made the package. Like if it was just her, we have it here. So whenever someone would come, they could just put labels on there. See, eventually we started growing way too fast and having to order a lot of books. So about 3 months ago, we just got another building. There's a warehouse where it's like this morning, we ordered books from England's Park, because when you do both, you get them for $1 a book per se. In most cases, I get them 90 cents, but we order books, they drop the books in the warehouse, and in the warehouse, they have shipping table, they process everything. But a lot of it is, you know, I had to hire a team, but I really appreciate the process. I came to me doing it, to my videographer doing it, along with my assistant. And now we have a team of six people working in the warehouse, and I don't even show up anymore.
Nice. That's where you want to be. A four-day working week style, isn't it, where you set things up and it runs away. Look, we're coming up on time, which has been amazing, Pierre. I almost feel like we've only scratched the surface of what you've achieved over the last few years. But the standout thing for me is being commercially successful with poetry. It's not that usual to find somebody like that, really. And I think it's going to be inspirational to some people who've maybe given up hope of trying to make money out of poetry. But building that audience first, being yourself on social media, doing it for the love of it is a good starting point.
Yes, I definitely say the one thing about poetry and even just any self-help, whether it's relationship or any topic, just me establishing myself, as an expert per se. It's like I've always shared, I write poems daily and I share them to where it piques more interest in putting them there. And of course, learning the marketing, which was where Facebook marketing, we invest quite a lot. But there is, if one thing I believe more into building all this, there's a niche for everyone. It's a matter of you getting your whatever you write, getting it out there, and then, you know, finding that niche. If they ask me if the one thing about this journey, someone would recommend, or what was the most important thing about this journey, if they ask me, was more of, you know, pick a lane and whether it exists or not, just take it. Because the whole idea of modern or insta poets didn't exist 2-3 years ago, and now being one of the people on the forefront, I can't even believe it. Just mixing the self-help to where, again, the success is there. And always learning to, I guess, also adapt, because it just the last 8 months, as I mentioned, those changes. And believe it or not, it has launched everything to where my Amazon sales are better, my iBook sales are better, Kobo sales, everything else is better. So there's a lane for everyone. It's a matter of finding it, I guess. That would be my big takeaway. Just write your heart out and someone will enjoy it.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
There you go. We got to the interview in 10 minutes before ramble. Was that, were we going to get an email? saying probably that was nonsense. We often you get, talked about.
We often get emails, but yes, who knows?
So there's Pierre Gentil. You should look up the books, Mark. They're, I do love the branding of her and him, the two main poetry books.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I saw him. I saw his story on 20 Books, and I reached out to him because I wanted him to. I thought he'd be a good, interesting guest and a different angle that we would normally have. So yeah, I've seen his. I've seen his branding. I know what he does, and he's doing a really good job in, you know, a field that is difficult, more difficult than others to make money. And he's not just making a little bit of money. He's doing very well. Also, things like you know, shipping directly and off site sales and things like that, all being juiced by Facebook ads. So he's definitely an interesting study of an alternative way to sell your words. So yeah, a good one.
Yeah, and some people do think about the print side of things, which is a whole different discussion really, but Pierre's police helicopter going over, or the Magpass helicopter going over. It's too hot to have my door shut today. But Pierre does explain in the interview how you can automate that process, so you can set it up so that you can physically distribute your books, which does save you some money, allow you to keep more of that profit. It's a bit of effort involved in that, but it is doable. Right, I think that is probably it. I'm going to wait for it to cool down a little bit, and I'm going to go out on my bike without a battery. I'm going to have to use my legs to pedal. But there's a couple of hills on the route I'm going to do this afternoon, and I will I'll think of you, Mark.
Yeah, I'll be next time you have to come down to Salisbury, and I'll show you just how fast the bike is.
Yeah, well, I would like to do that. I have cycled a 100-mile circuit race, actually, in the New Forest. Did that a couple of years ago. It was surprisingly hilly. I don't know, because I come from Cambridgeshire, so everything's surprisingly hilly compared to around here. But yeah, I can tell you the back 50 miles of that was very, very hard work.
I bet. But,
yeah, good. Okay, enough waffle from us. I hope you've enjoyed the interview. I hope you enjoyed meeting Pierre Gentil. As Mark says, he does lurk in the 20 Books group if you want to reach out to him directly and ask him some more questions. And I want to say thank you very much to Pierre for coming along. Don't forget that webinar is on Tuesday, June the 9th at 9 o'clock p.m. UK time. It's going to be about Amazon ads, how to use that platform, how to get it working for you. And the instructor is Janet Margo, who comes straight from the Amazon ads operation inside Amazon itself. So don't miss that. You go to selfpublishingformula.com/6secrets. S-I-X, secrets, all one word. And we'll hopefully see you. I think it's going to be a very, very busy one. Looking forward to it. Good. That's it. Mark, thank you very much indeed. All that leaves me to say is that it's a goodbye from him.
And it's a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.